Good morning. We are continuing our study of Eshet Hayil. We've been speaking how the word Hayil can be explained that a woman is leading a home of shalom. We explained shalom to mean that the people in the home are involved and feel the responsibility of bringing shelemut, of filling the holes of the other people that they share the home with. That their focus, or part of their focus, when they walk into their home, is to see what they can do to fulfill the needs of the others in that home. That's a magnificent home, where you have a home of shalom, true shalom. Where does a person pick up the tools to have such a home? Whether it's a woman or a man, or in fact any relationship of shalom between people, between friends, between neighbors, between business partners. Where does the person start to develop their ability to have a life where the relationships, at least the meaningful ones, are ones of shalom? Every great accomplishment needs a beginning. Foundation after foundation, and then at some point you could reach great heights. While we're speaking about great ideals and a home and relationships of the highest caliber, and while it may be inspiring and may be something that a person says, I'm going to aspire to it, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen. Everything requires certain preparations and certain foundations. So a person who wants to live such a life, no matter the age, the earlier the better, but no matter the age, a person says, I am committed. I want to live a life where shalom is the overarching principle that I will live with. That's where I want to be. What does that person have to do? So, like most good things in life, most important things, most meaningful things, the work starts inside the person. Usually people don't like to start within themselves because it's much more difficult. We like to solve all the external issues. We like to point at the situations or at others to blame why we're not reaching our mission. We like to change the relationships. We like to change certain physical aspects of the relationship, hoping that by changing, sometimes a person is not getting along with his friends in school. So he says, okay, let me change classes. That doesn't work. Well, let me change schools. You know what? Maybe school's not for me. That's why it's not working out. But when I finish school and I go into the world, then I'll be able to do it. Very often people like to feel like changes are being made because the physical reality has changed. Or they try to change the physical reality in hope that things will be solved. And the formula is very simple. Because since they're not getting along with that person, so change the person, you won't have the same issues. And this is not just in conflict, it's in many areas of life. The first place we like to solve is the external. Change the situation, change the relationship. This marriage is not working, try another one. This partnership isn't going well, we'll split up. Obviously, there is a time to split up, both in marriage, both in a partnership. Definitely, there's room for that in life. Because sometimes, no matter what a person does, it's just not the right fit. It's not the right situation. That's obvious. But we can be very sure that many, many relationships could have been solved and could have been resolved. But it was never given the chance. Most issues in life, the resolution lies within the person. And Shalom is a great model for that. It's a great example of that. Because to live with Shalom, with all the people in our lives, the first stop has to be what we call inner peace. A person has to have Shalom with themselves, which could be the most difficult place to find Shalom. One of the reasons why it's difficult is because people don't even realize that they have a conflict within themselves. One of the wars to fight is the one that you don't even know there's a war going on. At least if you know there's a war going on, you make an effort. You make plans, you strategize. But if there's a war going on and you're losing and you don't even know it, that is an absolute disaster. While nobody is going to be surprised that people are struggling with their relationships and Shalom would be a huge upgrade in their lives in that respect, but I think many people would be surprised to hear that the biggest conflict they have is within themselves. The reason why people don't view an inner conflict is because they're only one person. So how could there be a conflict within one person? Conflict by definition means it's two parties and they're somehow against each other. But how can one person who shares one goal, which is himself and his happiness, how can he have a conflict with himself? It doesn't even begin in a person's mind. It's a big heidush. What does that mean? So what does it mean when a person is in conflict? Where is the conflict? So the answer is very simple. You just need a little bit of thought to reach and find the war, the inner war that's going on within every person. It's actually raging in many situations. It's undeniable that every person has two parts, two distinct parts of himself. Two parts that don't see eye to eye on many issues. A person has his physical body and all that comes with it, the nature of the body, the desires of the body, And then a person has a neshama, has a soul, and all that it desires. The body, amongst many things, likes to relax. If the body is able to be given relaxation, it will choose it anytime over hard work. The body generally is lazy. The body is attracted to different physical desires. It sees something good to eat. The first thing is, I want to eat it, I want to enjoy it. Healthy, not healthy, good for me, not good for me. Those are things I have to fight for. The natural desire of the body is to just enjoy, whether it's food, whether it's a relationship, whatever it might be. The body has its desires and has its nature. On the other hand, we have in the neshama, we don't always know where the voices of our body and ourselves come from. That's one of the issues. Because we're one body, somehow we think that all the voices that are inside of us is coming from the same place. But it's clearly not. Our neshama will sometimes make us feel that we're not doing enough. The body is happy not doing it. Body wants to sit on the couch. But then sometimes we hear a voice inside of us, come on, get up. What are you doing? Go do something. Go help your mother. Go pick up your sister. Go learn something. Go to shul, go pray. He's sitting here. 9 o'clock in the morning, still in bed. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. What do you think a guy who wakes up at 12 o'clock, what's going on in him? There's a part of him that says, great, just stay sleeping. And there's a part of him that says, get up already. Everybody hears that voice. Where does that voice come from? That's not the same place. That's the soul saying, come on. Can't waste your life like this. A person sees something attractive, whatever it might be. The body says, go for it. Don't look back. We'll think later. We'll worry about things later. The body is not a future thinking type of creation. The body thinks about now. Right now, get what you want and worry later what's going to be. And then there's another side in the person, he's struggling. He says, no, you can't do that. What are you doing? You're going to get in trouble. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to ruin your marriage. You're going to hurt your children. What are you doing? But then the body comes back. It's like, come on. But don't you want this right now? Don't you want to have this? Don't you want to eat this? You could see sometimes a person looking at his plate. Sometimes you could actually see a person fighting back and forth. You know, when you see like a big piece of cake and a guy takes a bite. What is that bite exactly? That's a very big fight going on inside of him. His body says, eat the whole thing. Get another one. The soul says, come on, it's not responsible. What are you doing? Not for you. Control yourself. You're not hungry. You don't need to have this now. See, he doesn't know what to do. Okay, I'll take a bite. And then another bite. Come back in 5 minutes. Guy already ate the whole cake. All one bite at a time. Because He's struggling. He knows he shouldn't be eating it. But he can't deal with this conflict. His body's pushing him. I mean, there are endless examples, endless amount of examples.
Sometimes the soul is looking for spiritual accomplishment. Sometimes it's looking for health. The soul needs you to be healthy. Otherwise, you're not able to fulfill your mission in this world.
The soul is looking at the important things of life and thinks about the future. The soul is concerned about the future, the near future. It's thinking about the long-term future. It's thinking about your legacy. It's thinking about Olam Haba. That's where the soul is at. The body's got a whole different program. If you look good, you will see this struggle, not only in ourselves, but in many people around us. You'll see it.
Sometimes you see a person does something silly, even something like waking up late. You know how bad they feel? You think a guy wakes up late at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock? You think he feels good? Guy feels terrible. Of course, he's not going to get up and announce it. He feels terrible, and you could see the terrible feelings come out in different ways. He could be edgy, he could be angry, he could be annoyed easily. What happened? You just slept for 15 hours. What's the problem? You should feel great. But there's a part of him that feels very, very guilty and very bad. Where does guilt come from? Why should a person who does something enjoyable to his body feel bad? Where does the bad feeling come from? That's the soul crying. The neshama of the person says, you shouldn't have done that. Why did you take that? It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Why did you say that? You just hurt that person. And on and on and on. It's obvious that we have two voices, two powerful voices inside of us that play a role in so many decisions in our lives. Especially the meaningful ones, the important ones. That's where you find the biggest battle. If you're choosing between pasta and pizza, and they're both healthy for you, the soul doesn't really care what you eat. But anything of substance, of meaning, something that's lasting, you're going to have this conflict. So therefore, most people are not living with shalom with themselves. And if a person is not living with shalom within themselves, it's very, very hard to believe they're going to be able to live with shalom with others. A country that has a civil war has very little chance of winning a war against another country. Can't have a civil war and fight a country coming from the outside. To fight the outside, you have to have first shalom inside your own country. How can a person who doesn't have shalom within himself expect to have shalom with his wife, with his children, with his partners, with his friends, with his neighbors? It's not so possible. It's not so plausible to even think that that could happen. That's why the first place to build shalom is within the person. That's why we, Am Yisrael, when we see another person, how do we greet them? We say, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be upon you. Shalom Aleichem. I bless you. Not that you should have shalom in your life. Of course, that's the ultimate blessing. But we're actually more focused than that. Shalom Aleichem. I wish peace upon you. Literally means you should be a peaceful person yourself. Because from that shalom will stem many beautiful relationships of shalom. So that is the key. The key to shalom begins inside the person. A person might ask, if this is the reality within me, so how in the world is it possible to make shalom between two opposing forces like the body and the soul? They're clearly not from the same place, and they have different goals, which is really grounds for divorce. At some point, if you see, if you would be a rabbi or a lawyer, and you would get a couple, one is called the body, and one is called the soul, and they come to you for advice, and they tell you their situation, and they tell you each one what their goals are and where they come from, you would say, it's a no-brainer. Give a get today. Don't wait till tomorrow. There's no chance that such different creations can ever come together and see eye to eye. It's not possible. You think a man and a woman are different? At least they're born in the same world, a man and a woman. At least they share many things in common. But the soul and the body, what do they share in common? Whatever you say about the body, the soul is opposite. We gave a few examples, but there are many more. So, where do we even start? One is physical, one is spiritual. And just keep going. How in the world can you make shalom bayit between such opposite forces? So in our world, we would say this is grounds for divorce. And we would not even feel bad about it. Obvious. But obviously, there has to be a way. It cannot be that the Creator would make two parts of me and it's impossible to make shalom. And then expect me to have shalom with other people also. Not possible. So there has to be a solution. I'm just saying, I don't know necessarily the answer. We're going to try to get to the answer today. But even if you don't know the answer, you know there has to be an answer. Sometimes, between a couple, maybe there's no answer. Maybe they just found the wrong person. That's it. What are you going to do? But in this situation, it can't be. There has to be an answer. When there has to be an answer, you work harder to try to figure it out. This is not one of those possibilities where you say, oh, well, maybe they're not for each other. Can't be. There has to be an answer. So we must use our brains to figure out what is the answer. How do these two opposites live in peace? Again, remember what peace means. It doesn't even mean that they're not going to fight with each other. Shalom, shalem. That means somehow We have to get the body and the soul to help each other. Because that's what shalom means. That means the body is going to help the soul become more complete. And the soul is going to help the body become more complete. Now, how are you going to figure this out? But bottom line, you must figure it out. And there has to be an answer. Because otherwise, there'd be no way to survive this world in the way that the Creator desires of us and wants for us. So what is the answer? If we worked and worked and worked and worked, we will realize that the answer actually is very, very simple and obvious. It's obvious, but you have to think a lot. But at the end, you'll see it's an obvious answer. Rule number one. The human soul, the neshama of the person, will never give in, ever, to the body. Which means, let's say you take a guy, he's 13 years old, he decides, I identify as a body, I don't know my soul, I don't care about my soul, this other voice that's talking to me, I don't know where it's coming from, some out external interference. Not interested. So he makes every decision following his body, not his soul. Just imagine what kind of guy this guy will be. He eats whatever he wants. He goes wherever he wants. He does whatever he wants. He drinks whatever he wants. He gambles whatever he wants. Whatever comes his way. There's no spiritual rules. There's no stealing. There's no overeating. There's no oversleeping. There's no not healthy things, not healthy relationships. There's no don't say that. There's no don't hear that. There's no don't watch that. No spiritual influence. The guy is just following the body. Just imagine what that recipe makes. That's what it would be if a person would drown out completely his soul. So what would happen? What would the soul do? Would the soul say, okay, you know what? Forget it, give up. Guys, forget it. There's no way this person is going to sign on to what I have to offer. Does the soul say, you know what? I give in, I give up. I'll just go your way. Let's make shalom. Let's do it your way. Because in this relationship, you either gonna have to follow the soul or the body. Because their paths are quite different. One is headed north, one is headed south. So it's not possible to meet somewhere in the middle. So someone's gonna have to lead. That's why our rabbis say such beautiful words. But when you think about these words, they light up. Our rabbis tell us that great people, they're the ones that talk to their body. While failures let their body talk to them. What are they trying to say? What are they saying? Great people talk to their body, and failures, their body talks to them. What are they trying to tell you? They're trying to tell you there's two paths in life. Either your soul is the leader or your body is the leader. Either your body is leading and telling you what to do, or your soul is leading and telling your body what to do. It's very simple. But one thing you should know is that the soul will never make shalom with the body. Ever. Which means, here's a guy doing everything he wants in the physical world. His soul is not going to give up. You will see the soul, for example, make the guy feel guilty. Feels bad. The soul will make him feel not happy, lacking simha. He feels empty. All these types of feelings, frustrated, unaccomplished. He's doing all that he wants physically. Should be a home run. Guy's doing great. What's the problem? Why are you feeling bad? You just did everything you wanted. It was the night of your life. You had a great night. What's the issue? You went, you ate, you did, you go. What's the problem? Why you wake up in the morning and don't feel good? What don't you feel good about? That the soul saying, I'm not signing on to this program. I'm never going to sign on to your program. I'm a prisoner. I'm going along. I have no choice. But I'm going to make sure you know about it. And you get these terrible feelings. They call them depression. They have all different names for them. Whatever their names are, it all is the soul saying, I'm not buying in. So you're going to feel empty, you're going to feel sad, you're going to feel depressed, you're going to feel all these feelings that have many, many terms in the world of science and the world of medicine. It's a soul that says, I'm not giving in to this lifestyle. You're forcing me to come along. I have no choice. But I'm not buying in. That's a fact of life. The only solution is if we allow the soul to be the leader. And if you tell me, okay, so now the soul is leading, now the body's in a fight. The same way the soul is fighting when the body is leading, the body's in a fight when the soul is leading. But what do we gain? We're still at war. Okay, now you have a better leader, but you're still fighting. A war is a war, no matter who's leading. No, here's the hidush, the obvious hidush. If a person studies the world and studies themselves, they'll see it's an obvious hidush. That the body has been built in a way by the Creator that at some point, not only does it make itself part of what the soul is trying to do, at some point it'll be b'shalom with the two. Meaning, shalom means the body will not just give up. Shalom is more. Remember we learned shalom is. Shalom means it will work to complete the soul. What does it mean that the body makes shalom with the neshama? What does that mean? It means it starts to help the neshama. I'll give you an example. It's a very simple example. It's a great example to use because it's very real and very much close to home to many people. A person who's not fit, not healthy, not eating right, not exercising, he looks not healthy, he feels not healthy. But what should he do? That's what he lives. That's the way he lives his life. Let me arrive. Of course, he's paying the price. Can't walk so well. Gets tired very quickly. Doesn't move very fast. So here he is, coming out of shul. This overweight person, very slow to move, and exhausted just to get to his car, which is right across the street. As he finally gets to his car, can't wait to sit down, He sees his old friend from high school while he's in his coat and his hat and his earmuffs and he's freezing to get into his car to finally take a little rest from the 100-foot walk that he had. He sees his old high school friend is in a tank top and shorts gliding on Ocean Parkway. Can't believe it. Looks at the guy, looks at himself.
What the?
Something's wrong. The soul says to him, hello, wake up. Look at you. You're a mess. Look at that guy. You need to be healthy. So it was a very big hit for him. He decided right there on the spot. He got inspired. He said, that's it. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to start to eat healthy. And I'm going to start every day to exercise. I'm going to get a trainer. I'm going to buy machines. I'm going to get clothing. That's it. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. And he starts. He calls his wife. She almost faints when she hears that he's looking to upgrade his physical reality. But she knows the reality is probably not going to last that long anyway. She doesn't get too excited. He's been there before. Anyway, he looks serious this time. And he starts. He calls up his friends. Tell me, who's the best trainer? His friend tells him, listen, he's a guy. He's not the best, but he's good. No. I need the best. I'm not doing this any other way. The best trainer, he orders the machines. He cleans out his basement. And he's all ready for his first session. He's all excited. By the time his body actually goes to the session, it was a big fight. So he's all excited to go. 7 p.m., home from work, he's going straight to the gym. At 6:30, he's already dreading this whole thing. He's tired, he's not interested, just wants to eat and sit on the couch like he normally does. But he has enough stamina to fight. The soul is saying, come on! And he's giving him the picture of his friend. He's too embarrassed not to follow through after all the phone calls he made. And he goes. And it's exhausting. The whole thing being there, he's dreading every minute of this. He's thinking there has to be an easier way, maybe to have some sort of needle that I can get. Maybe, who knows, is there some pill? Oh, there's got to be an easier way to look like that guy than this. But what should he do? He's committed. He goes. An hour and a half, the trainer is working. He's like working with rocks. And finally, he's finished the session and he actually feels a little accomplished. It wasn't easy, but he feels like he did something. He sees sweat in his body for the first time in a long time. He feels like there's movement somewhere inside. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Day one, check. He goes home. He's exhausted. Comes the morning. Forget about it. The guy can't move. Every muscle on his body is heavy, stuck. I don't know what the right word is.
Sure.
He can't move. That's his body saying, are you sure you want this? That's his body saying, this is not for me. The couch is so much more comfortable. What are you doing? The body is not interested in this movement, in this work. The body's resisting both the desires of relaxation and just physically. The next night, if he gives up, the body wins, he's back to his couch. Like most people do. But if he keeps going, the second night, the third night, the fourth night, he's got to put every night, he's got to push himself. Because every night he wants to give up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. The body keeps fighting. If he keeps fighting for a week, for a month, for 2 months, 3 months, you know what happens? Something unbelievable happens. At some point, the body becomes one of the parties that needs this. It's amazing. People who exercise every day, if they stop for one day, the body says, hey, what are you doing? What happened? How come you're not working out today? Your body feels it and will tell you about it. How did this happen? The same body that didn't want to start, the same body that was sore, the same body that said, you don't need this. All of a sudden, your body says, I like this, I want this. The body is able to be the servant of the soul and make shalom with the soul. Not at first. It's going to be a little resistance. Now, I gave you an exercise example. So it could be for all people to understand. Because probably most people have had such an experience. But this applies to all spiritual upgrades in life. Guy starts learning. He's excited. He starts. His body's fighting him. Don't go, don't do this. What do you need this headache for? It's hard to learn, it's hard to understand. Yeah, it's taxing on your brain. It's fighting you in many ways. And that's why many people give up. But then if the soul continues and continues, you know what happens at some point? Your body says, come on, let's go. We need to learn something. The same it is with learning, with tefillah, with going to shul, with doing mitzvot, with kindness, with everything. The beauty of this relationship is that the body can become a servant of the soul and an assistant to the soul and make shalom with the soul. And that is what we call Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem is when you have inner shalom, when your two parts are working to help each other. Such a person has an unbelievable peace of mind. Such a person has a sense of belonging in this world and has a sense of a relaxed temperament that can make all the right decisions. Such a person is ready to make shalom with all the people outside of himself because he is a person of shalom. He is a person who represents shalom with himself, and he just continues and applies that to all the relationships in his life. Inner peace is the victory of the soul to lead the body. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have a little bit of resistance. You have to tell your body, come on, you can do it, don't worry. Remember what that guy looked like? We can do it. A little more, push yourself. You got to remind your body why you're doing what you're doing. Come on, we have big things to accomplish here. We have a lot to learn. We have a lot to do. There's a future here. There's a great family that we want to raise. There's Olam Haba. Come on, push, push, push. That you have to do at the beginning of any new thing that you take on that your body's not used to. Just keep pushing, keep pushing. At some point, you have inner peace. That is the victory of the neshama over the goof over the body. And that's what an Eshet Hayil needs first and foremost, especially if she can get it early on in her life. The whole preparation of 20 years before marriage, or however many years, is the preparation of the inner peace of the person. If a person has built that leadership of the soul, they are ready. They're ready for the shalom that will exist outside of themselves. And that's where an Eshet Hayil gets her shalom energy from within herself. That's why it's so important for a woman to be focused on the values, on the proper values of life, because the values of life come from the soul. So many things that a great woman needs to allow to lead her life. That's what's happening. It's more than just doing the right thing. It's more than that. Doing the right thing in life is right because it's right. But as a young person, a young lady, by doing the right things, it's more than just doing the right things, because you're going to go to Olam Haba and you're going to get reward. It's more than that. It's building your inner peace. And that inner peace will translate into a peaceful home, shalom home, which will translate into huge accomplishments. I have no idea what we're accomplishing when our young women are focused on their soul. It's not just, oh, they're religious. It's not just that. Not that that's not enough, but it's not just that. It's not just, oh, they're more God-fearing. Oh, they are connected to Torah and mitzvot. It's much more than that. It's building their inner shalom, which will build the shalom of their future. Such a powerful thing that a person needs to remember for himself and for the important people in his life, his wife, his children, his daughters. Again, all people need this. It's not only for women. But the Eshet Hayil, who's the general of Shalom, she desperately needs this in her life. And when she gets it, you will see tremendous perot, tremendous fruits, and tremendous outcomes in all the important relationships in her life. That is the building blocks of Shalom Bayit. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom upon you. Have a wonderful day.